Got it.
Got it. Not only was I at the pub, I've also cracked the seal.
Oh, no. So you're an old man too. So you're going to be going.
I'm an old man that has genuinely cracked the seal. And I think that the best way is just to keep the fluids up.
Yeah.
So let's just hang on. I'm just trying to send a message to Blake Miller now. Here it comes. So he's looking for the, mate, he was early. Just in the link now. So there we go.
Hey, quick question while you're doing that. Yeah, can you see if I mute my microphone, can you see that I'm muted?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a good idea. That's what I do when I'm eating my dinner and I'm on podcast. Yeah.
But to be fair,
no one wants to hear that.
You do a really fucking shit job at it. hang on. Look. Has the young pups just connecting the audio?
Hey, one thing, guys. Just if you're in the background, if you hear the ocean noise, I apologise. I'm just in Papamoa and I'm sitting in my motorhome, just beside the ocean here, drinking
a beer. Are you homeless, bro?
Yeah, I'm on a sabbatical.
Blake, your mute's on. So are you right down the end near Kāriua Parade?
I'm at the
freeway
holiday park.
You're not a freedom camper.
No, but I'm using their Wi-Fi.
Oh, attaboy.
No. Yeah, I'm not a freedom camper. I actually paid for the site and I've got front row to the beach. It's beautiful.
Well, I guess, mate, fuck that. You gotta become a freedom camper. I'm a freedom camper. I believe they'll take the keys out of my camper van, out of my cold dead hands. Fuck you, camping to the death, brother.
I've done a fair bit of that as well, so that's right. I quite like plugging in though.
Hey, so boys, there's actually a fourth person in the call. We've got a fucking pup. Like, I mean, when I say pup, I mean a fucking pup, right? I think he just had his 21st. Is that right, Blake?
Well,
speak now. Blake. Now's your chance.
He can't work out, isn't it?
You're there, Blake.
He's struggling.
Blake, fucking hell, where are you?
Like, these guys should know technology, man.
I mean, come on.
Jesus.
I can see him. You can see him too, eh?
I can see him. Yeah, I can see him there.
We can see him. It's not us. We can't hear you, Blake. I always say that I have a quick sip, but hey, so fill me in. Why are you grumpy, Bike Painter?
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah, I'm grumpy. Somebody
Hang on, Bike Painter. You there, Blake?
Yeah.
We got you, eh? You there, Blake?
Yeah.
Good man.
Oh, brilliant.
How good is that connection, all right?
Yeah, I think we're good now.
Or does your tight-ass father pay for the cheap bandwidth?
I think it was my speakers were having a nightmare there.
Speak up, mate. Just speak up a little bit. That's good. Hey, so which Miller are you? Are you the sleeping Miller or the on-time Miller?
I am the sleeping one.
Oh, fucking hell. So you heard the story about that, eh, boys?
I haven't, no.
So on the line at the moment is one of the Miller twins. Don't ask me to fucking tell the two of them apart. I can't. no clue, right? Anyway, this is sleeping Miller. Right, he was doing the quarter at my race. I think the wave might have gone. What time was your wave, Blake?
I think it was 6:30.
Yeah, what time did you actually get to the actual park your car?
6:30.
Can you see the
distance? Yeah, the issue time.
So it was, you had, if you were any mates on social media, it was his mum was just videoing the whole thing. It was as funny as fuck, man. I was there. All sympathetic, like worried about him and fussing over him, like fuck. But so thank you for joining us, Blake. Blake is being brought in because he's the talent, right? He's going to tell us about all that's happening in the junior scene so that we're trying to cover that part of it.
But that's good. Yeah, so we don't have to make it up, right?
Yeah, we don't have to make it up because we're just really making it up. But we don't know where that actually happens in the podcast, Blake. So you're welcome to chime in. It's just like you're a regular. So we just, the first point of business is, the bike paint is grumpy. We don't know why.
I'm grumpy today.
What's happened?
I'm grumpy. Someone threw away my limited edition Hannah Wells Nutri-Grain box.
Someone. Was it me? Did you call the police?
Threw it away.
Did you call the police?
I was dirty on it.
Oh.
Because now my $10 box of Nutri-Grainy goodness is now going to cost me $20 of Nutri-Grainy goodness.
Oh no! You got to buy another box.
I've got to find another box.
Hannah Wells box.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can get her on the podcast and get her to hook her one up.
She's probably got a spare box or two. But Bike Painter, are you saying that Mrs. Bike Painter threw out your Hannah Wells box?
No, I think one of the kids took it to school because they take all that shit because they have arts and crafts. And I think one of them just picked it up and took it.
Oh, Did you belt them to within an inch of their lives?
Oh, you don't do that now, do you?
No, we don't do that now.
Yeah,
do
I'm
we?
Not.
No.
Nah.
We don't do that.
Do they need a picture of Wonder Woman?
So I was dirty on it.
Don't laugh, Rob. In 1979, when you're a 16, 17 year old growing up, it was Wonder Woman. It was Linda Carter.
Yeah.
There's no argument. It was Linda Carter. The end. Mm. I don't know who that. So I'll put you on the spot, Blake. What's the hot chick that's on your wall at the moment, mate?
I don't know if I can disclose that information.
There you go.
Pogacar.
Pogacar.
I've got a public image to uphold.
There we go. Exactly.
Well, we'll break it down.
Yeah, we will. You fucked that up getting on the podcast to begin with, mate. That wasn't your best move.
It's only about four people listen to this.
That's
anyway,
right.
So
that's
right.
Exactly yeah. right. I wouldn't be yeah. worried about it.
Hey, your reputation's safe.
This is. I've got a few topics on the agenda. And of course, we got rid of topic one straight away, which was that the bike painter was grumpy.
Yeah, I got some stats. I got some stats for you too, and I've got my dumbass moment.
Go. Yes, I always have this. You just keep rolling, keep riffing.
Right. I went for a ride this morning.
Yes. Right? Yes.
My usual I've rounded it up to 90K, but let's say my 90K loop.
Yeah.
Now, how many? And I'll give you some clues. So it's not an out and back course. So
yep.
I want to ask how many tipper trucks. So these quarry trucks.
Oh,
right?
Don't tell me you're rubbing out by Clevedon.
No. So I'm out Wainui, right? So yep. we're out Silverdale, Wainui area, right? So I'm out the back of Coatesville and Kumeut, right? How many bloody tipper trucks? And I counted logging trucks, and I didn't count curtain siders, but I counted logging trucks. But Dave Bowden's fucking stat head is going to blow up over this. Holy shit. How many bloody big tipper trucks?
I've got a crack.
Yeah, how many passed me on my ride, on my 90K ride today? How many do you think passed me? Because I've got to do stuff on my ride.
I'm going to go with 320.
Oh, now you're way off.
And I can explain the number.
Yeah.
One every 30 seconds.
30 seconds, yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't quite that bad. If I had gone out and back on my local road, yeah, 100%, that would be the number. 104 trucks passed me today. 104.
Yeah.
Holy
and each one of those,
man.
Each 104 times within an inch of your life, eh?
Do you know that's the reason why I sold Brookby Road, the farm out of Brookby, that I had the quarry on Twilight Hill, and they got resource consent. A truck can go from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So if you ride Brookby Road, which was a pretty simple
road
from Alfriston, if you wanted to get to Clevedon, you just take the Brookby Road, you will be passed every 30 seconds by 40 tons of dump truck in one direction and 30 seconds coming back.
Actually, I haven't ridden Brookby Road for years.
It's unrideable.
In fact, I go West Road now because I'd rather that than get brushed by trucks.
And yeah, 100%.
That says something. Yeah,
it's just beyond terrible, eh?
So there you go. There's terrible. My stat, 104. And here's my dumbass moment.
I was
sort of taken heed by what Braden was talking about on that podcast about how the North American commentators don't know jack about the Kiwi races and they never got a mention, right? So we had a bit of racing over the weekend. We had a couple of Kiwis in action. And I'm reading this race report online, right?
Wow.
And I'm like, fuck, they've done it again. They've done it again. I went through this whole race report, not one mention of Kyle Smith in this race report. And I'm like, but he was up the front. You know what I was doing?
He read last year's report.
No, I was reading the report for Chattanooga.
Oh god!
So you're reading the report. You got it.
That's worse. That's
reading
worse.
The right race report.
Fucking hell!
That's worse than what I. Yeah, that's worse than last year's report. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty fucking. Yeah.
So there you go.
Typical high standards.
That's my 3 points. There you go.
Typical high standards. So should we kick this off with
Kick it off.
Item number one on the agenda, Gustav Eden's moustache. What do you think, boys?
So here we go. Right. So there are three, maybe four people in triathlon that can pull off the dirty slug, right? and I'll put them in my order of best to worst, right?
Yep, go.
Number one, Dave Scott. All right.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Number two, Rick Wells.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number three, a little bit more of the modern era, and it's a maybe Josh Amberger. Josh Amberger.
Yep.
Okay. And number four, and he's a slim outside number four, our very own Rob Delamore.
That's up there with Blenheim and Mark Little.
Thank you. No. I thought you were going to say Tim Don, and I was going to chastise you.
No, I wasn't going to say Tim Don.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much for that.
Hey, Blake, have you got a moustache? You're having a look or something? Are there, Blake?
I think he's
we fucking lost him already.
I was going to add to that Ari Clough. That's a man who's got a nice moustache. Lionel Sanders' training partner.
Okay.
I don't know. He's creepy looking though with that one. I don't like it, eh?
I just want to go up to him and ask him to make me a coffee.
He looks too hipster.
So can a female commentator take the piss out of a man's looks, but a man can't take the piss out of a woman's looks? For example,
I'm all right. Can I
take the piss out of Raylene Boyle because she looks like she's from the Addams Family? With black hair and a black lipstick. Yeah, but, can I do that?
No, but it's a woman's right to be able to take it's a woman's right to be able to take the piss out of men. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, so am I, by the way. I'm all right. I'm fine with everyone taking the piss out of everyone. So I'm a bit more liberal. So that's acceptable. And what do we think overall? Yep. Is it a no for Gustav Eden for the moustache?
It's a no.
Is it a unanimous
hard no?
Hard no. Yeah, I'm going to say it's solid 100% no.
Solid no there.
No. I mean, I'm glad to see Kyle took his one off because that was terrible.
Yeah,
that was awful.
I mean, you've got to be able to grow a moustache, right? You've got to be able to grow a moustache. So, it's always a good start. On the subject of Eden, should he have been disqualified from the race because he received assistance outside the transition area? Blake, what do you say, Blake?
By the book, no.
What do you reckon the book says?
The book says outside assistance on certain mechanical issues is fine. So, but there's variance between what body you're working under, whether you're under Ironman or World Triathlon or Challenge. Their rules are all a little bit different. But if we were to remove outside assistance altogether, there wouldn't be aid stations, there wouldn't be lead motorbikes, there wouldn't be all these kind of things. So noted. It kind of fits in that.
Yeah, noted.
Yeah.
Noted.
I agree. And it wasn't outside assistance as such because it was still within the transition area and it was a race official. And if it was, then what a shit bloody thing. Like, oh, the poor dude's got a flat tire, he can't fix it. We don't have many pumps in the transition. Sorry, mate, your race is over. Like, that's pretty stink if they're going to stick to those rules.
Yeah.
The same thing happened in Miami with Andre Dreitz. Same thing happened. Got his bike out of transition and they pumped it up for him. I've got no problem with it.
And in fact, Gustav actually, he was proactive in trying to pump it up himself anyway. Yeah. So he was aware of the rules. And I'm like, yep, he's good. He's all right with that.
So
carry on.
Rob or boys, what? So how do you fix a flat tire by pumping it up? How does that fucking work?
I'd say it was on tubeless.
Okay. So if you're on a tubeless, does it like reset itself? I don't know enough about this shit now, eh?
Yeah. So something may have happened. It may have burped, or maybe you had a little piece of glass in it, which had just been enough to let a bit of air out, and then it sealed itself at some stage, and then it's just let a little bit of air down. Unless he it's just put enough air back into it, and because it's tubeless and it sealed itself, it went back to normal. It was fine.
I'm fully supportive of it. Do you know what I mean? And because I'll tell you the other side of the coin. I'm going to take you. Were you born in 1994, Blake?
Nowhere near.
Nowhere near, exactly.
Not even sure if my parents would have met by that point.
In 1994, I'm pretty sure it was 94, 96, one of those two. I was looking after the bike course for the Ironman when it was in Auckland, and we're at Balowthan Green. And almost all the bikes are gone, and there's one member. He was a member of the Taupo Tri Club, a Māori fella. I just can't remember his name for the life of me, right? And he'd gone through his two spares trying to get his front wheel flat, put a tube in, repaired it, blew it up, flat. Did it twice, he's basically sitting there bawling his fucking eyes out, right? Because it's over. He's literally the last bike in transition. And I'm like, fuck. So, you know, those are the good old days where, you know, the transition's fenced off and there would have been, there were still people just lined up on the fence line, right? There's a guy there. He's just on his bike. So he rode down on his bike to watch the race. Didn't know who he was. To this day, I still don't know who he was. So I run over to that guy. I say, mate, can I borrow your wheel? And he goes, yep, because you could see what I was on about, right? So I said, I want you to lean your wheel on the fence. Okay, lean your wheel on the fence. Okay? So I went back to the guy that was, you know, on the ground. I said, mate, there's your spare wheel you forgot. There it is. It's just sitting over there. So he went over, grabbed this guy's wheel, who to this day I still don't know who he was, put the wheel on, wait for it, finishes the race. I don't know how we got the wheel back to the owner of the bike and we got away.
Awesome.
And Try and Zed heard that I'd done that. And they were trying to hunt me down to find out who it was. And I wasn't fucking ratting, man. They could get fucked.
Yeah. They're
never going to find out from me what happened.
Good on you.
You know what I mean? And that's.
I don't know nothing about no robbery.
Yeah, that's right. We then got in the shit collectively because at that after party, I was a little bit involved, but not majorly involved. Souvenired one of the really neat Ironman banners that were hanging up with the downtown convention center, and it got souvenired back to the Taupo Tri Club, and I'll never forget.
Oh, we've all done that.
Yeah, we've all done exactly right. I remember getting the call, Hooksy, nothing will be fucking said. Get those fucking banners back because they're the sponsors and they want them back. So I said nothing.
I've got an outside assistant story. So we were in Kona 2008.
Hold your phone above your head. Hold your phone above your fucking head.
The front wheel, every transition.
Start again, Rob. Stop, pause. Now start again and hold your phone above your head. Go, Rob. Yeah. Go again.
So we're 2008 Kona.
Yeah.
Kelly was racing. And all through race week, we'd had problems with her front wheel. And it was old school zip. Alloy brake surface, real deep channels in them, real hard to get tires on. And we put her bike in transition the day before. She turns up to the bike in the race morning, dead flat. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And this guy beside her, mechanic, who was in the transition area, heard what was going on. He says, little lady, I'll deal with this. You just get in the water. And so I swear to God, the guy knew where her bike was. He went and fixed it. And God knows how he got it done because it was the bloody hardest wheels to fit a tire to. Fitted her, pumped it up. She came out of the water, bike was there, ready to go. And I'm like, mate, if there was no outside assistance, if it was enforced, she would have had such a shit experience. So it was awesome. And then the other thing is that, you know, and it can go the other way. In Tour de France a couple of years ago, Richie Port gave another guy who wasn't in his team, it might have been Simon Clark, at his wheel because he was on the side of the road, had a flat. Richie Port saw him, mate of his, gave him his wheel. Different team. They both got fined.
Wow.
Because it was outside assistance. It's just a weird rule, you know?
I think, if
it's a spectator, you can't do it. But if it's someone within the race, there's nothing stopping them. Go for it.
Far be it from me to, bag the Try and Z volunteers that turn up to Ironman and referee the race. They've got a job to do. But I recall it's that conversation of balance, eh? I can recall one year, Judy Barfoot's on the run course walking. And this must be 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And I pop alongside, have a chat to Jude, she says to me, Hooksy, go away. I've already been warned once. I could get this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for walking next to a 14, 15 hour Ironman finisher. And having a chat, I think that's where, that's just fucking pushing it, eh? Fuck off. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's got to be, you can happily get away with having, I completely agree, Cameron Brown should have been DQ'd for getting a pair of shoes at Ironman a couple of years back. 100% agree with that, right? I don't think even he would have agreed with that, right?
Yeah.
He would have agreed with it as well. You have to disqualify him. But at the 14-hour mark, you leave Judy Barfoot alone and you celebrate the people that are out there with them. And you've done your job. And don't get me wrong, because the one thing I do fully respect is that The Tri NZ Marshals are volunteers, unpaid at the end of the day, and they deserve the respect and the immunity of not getting abuse for anyone, right?
Yeah.
And so when I'm draft busting my own race, I've got a simple fucking rule, man. I'll start counting the minute you shut the fuck up. Are you ready? Yeah. Over to you. We'll talk. I'm not going to start the clock until you shut up. Shut up, man.
That's across the board as well. That's how TOs work. Your penalty starts once you stop whinging.
Yeah, just shut up and take your beans. I mean, that's just the thing, right? Mm. And here's the thing. I mean, I would say I get a couple of them that are good where I pull, because I only pull over flagrant drafting. It's Mike Small sitting behind a tractor. Mind you, there's no point DQing him because he just gave me the fingers and rode on. But it's gotta be pretty blatant for me to pull someone up. And I respect the guys that go, fair cop, you got me. And you know what I say to them? Mate, just breathe, take a second, turn it to your advantage. And I genuinely believe it does turn to some of these people's advantage. Have a drink, get some food in you, just relax. Mm. It'll be over before you know it, and I'll let you go, and don't ruin your day for it, eh?
Yeah, I'm all for so here's an example where it had gone the wrong way. So a friend of ours, Andrew Davidson, I remember he was doing Ironman New Zealand. He had a gel wrapper he had to discard, and he went to put it in the rubbish bin, which wasn't an A station rubbish bin. It was a rubbish bin that was on the side of the road, and he missed it. And a guy on the side of the road said, "Oh, I'll get it." Picked it up, put it in the bin, and the official penalised Andrew. And it's like,
come on, hang on,
that is just
that's right,
that's just bullshit.
Was he going for a Kona spot? I suppose you could technically. I'm not.
Oh, he might have been. He might have been. But again, devil's
advocate here, right? That there's, but that's bullshit, eh? You know.
Yeah.
He's everyone's trying to do the right thing. That's one of the coolest parts of Ironman is that. It's everyone there that day is supporting every other person. It's just this giant kumbaya loving. Everyone's in a good space, right? You know, no one wants and the people out there doing it tough. I'm waffling. So on that waffle, I'm going down the list. See how organized this podcast is, Blake. We are so fucking organized, mate. We've even got an
agenda. I listen to every second on episode, it's nailed down. But yeah,
every second episode.
Jesus Christ! Can I count that as a half listener? Yeah, but so that was good. Okay, so the talk, the excitement of last week.
Hang on. I thought you were going to talk about some of the other outside assistants.
Oh,
great example of outside assistants. I have a couple.
Yes, please. Let's keep going on that. I want to go on that too. Yeah, let's keep going.
Did you watch that Aaron Baker video? The famous Immortal one.
Yes. Oh, what a great video.
Yeah. And when she had that flat tire and the guy was going to give her the help and she refused help. Need outside assistance. Yeah. That was a great example of I don't need your help. I don't need outside assistance. But the other, probably the most famous one was Chrissy Wellington at Kona. In her first year that she won, when she had the flat tire and she didn't have any spares, and Rebecca Keat saw her, flicked a gas canister and a spare or whatever it was, and she managed to fix it and went back on and won the race. And there was so much debate around, was it outside assistance?
Yes.
You know, should she have been allowed to have continued? What should have happened there? And that was a tough one, eh? Like, I was pretty torn by that. I didn't know what my position was. You were disqualified her because of that.
I thought that the rules are that you've got to carry the obvious things, right? Yeah. That outside assistance is beyond you've got to carry spares and a pump.
You have to show that you've got a spare out of your way.
If you don't have a spare and a pump, you're trying to gain an unfair advantage by not carrying that weight, right?
Mm.
Simple as that for me. She's a DQ. She should have been out of the race. Mm. What do you say?
Pretty sure that athletes can give other athletes things as long as it's not, like you said, just absolutely ridiculous. Like you can't hand off a wheel or something. Not sure where that line's drawn. Athletes are allowed to help other athletes.
That's a good point. Maybe athletes are allowed to pass little things, but not wheels. That's right.
So is that when you have a domestique carry your drink bottles for you and just hand them off to you?
I just think that especially at a pro level, that if you're not carrying a spear, at least carrying it, okay? At least you could just carry it. That's all we're saying is carry it, right? Mm. And if you're not carrying it, you're doing that for a weight advantage. You must be. Either that or you're just fucking stupid.
Oh, you're stupid, But definitely if it had come off the course from someone on the side of the road, you're gone.
Or if it had bounced off you, I don't know what they use now, but in our day, you used to just tape it on, you know?
Yeah.
If it comes off, right? Any other outside assistance stories? So we think
I couldn't think of any others. Eh? There's definitely examples where people have refused it, which is great. But couldn't think of too many where people have been given it in interesting circumstances. But that Gustav one was a good one because there was a lot of debate about that.
Well, I tell you what though, I can relate this at that level. I can relate this directly to the Hayden Wild and going cutting the cones in Taupo, right? Mm. If you're a pro and you're racing for the win, fuck me, know the rules, eh?
Mm.
Yeah. Know the rules, know the course, and then behave with confidence, right? Mm. And I think that looks like what Gustav Eden did. He was confident that he knew that everything was fine. He wasn't worried about anything.
Yeah.
But I thought it was an interesting, we milked that one quite well. I thought we did quite well there, boys. anything else about outside assistance before we go on to, I think, the serious topic of the weekend? Kyle Smith.
Yep. Man, what an athlete.
Blake, should Kyle Smith have raced 2 weeks later after an Ironman? A tough, impossible question to ask.
Probably avoidable, but at the end of the day, got to do what you got to do. It's no negative, I wouldn't think so.
No, I'm all for it. I think you could probably look at it and say maybe it wasn't the best thing for him, but I actually think he raced it really smart. You know, it looked like he felt pretty average for most of it, so kept within himself and then built through that run. And the last 5K was one of his fastest 5Ks.
Yeah,
and he almost got fourth. Like he had that sprint finish. So
I know, right?
He it could have gone badly, and I think the guy's matured, and he now knows that he's a professional athlete, and he knows how to race like one. Because I was fully expecting him to be at the front of that bike course, regardless of how he felt.
Yeah,
and I was quite surprised when he wasn't there because I thought he's either having a terrible day or he's going to have a very good day, and I think he had a very good day in the end.
Did he sorry, I lost my train of thought there. Do you think that hang on, pause. Sorry, boys. Sorry, Blake, I do that just if we fluff something, we just throw a pause into the recording so I know where to go in and edit it out at a later. Because we're fucking top-notch professionals here, man.
Doesn't happen often.
Right, hang on, I'll put a second pause in after my cough. Did I read somewhere or did someone tell me that Kyle Smith considers himself to be a racehorse and racehorses have got a race?
He said that in his Facebook post, I think.
Is that what it was? Racehorses got a race, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Fucking love it. You know what I mean? Just
Mama didn't make no quitter.
You know, and that's honestly that for me. Him and Hayden Wild have been the big resurgence. Oh, and Braden Curry have been my big resurgence in following international triathlon. I'll be honest with you, boys. Mm. I checked out for 5 years, longer. I couldn't name half the people. There's a big window in what I know of the sport. That sort of you can spot the years where they were, but now all of a sudden.
But do you know what brought that? Do you know what brought it back for you?
What's that?
The PTO at your race. I reckon that turned it around. That brought Kyle Smith to you. It brought Braden to you. Brought your love for the sport back.
Yeah.
And here we are now.
But these guys are up there at the front doing it. And I mean, competitively trying to win these races. And it's been a long time between drinks. It's not as bad as the Australians, but it's certainly been a while. I want to talk about I tried to watch the replay of it, Rob, of the Challenge Championship. Did you get through it? Fuck it. I couldn't do it.
We struggled. I turned it off after about 3 or 4K into the run. It was, and the chase back was awesome by the sounds of it.
Did they not put a camera on Gustav Eden and say,
no,
let's send a camera back to Eden and give you time splits?
No. There was more camera on him pumping his tire up than there was of him riding his bike.
Oh, you're joking.
Yeah, we never saw him. As soon as he got the puncture, he was gone. Never saw him again.
Oh,
until
no.
Until he took the lead on the run.
Yeah.
So that goes for everyone that was in that chase group. The Kyles, everyone that was in that chase group never saw them.
Is that right? Yeah.
And we're hearing Amberger's, you know, they were describing the facials of Amberger trying to keep up. And it's like, well, if you're explaining it, why can't you just show us? Because we want to see this stuff. This is the story we want to follow.
Yeah.
We want to see these guys blow up, you know?
Yeah.
And
so this is, this for me is why I asked this particular question is in the space of a couple of weeks, we've had a feast of triathlon live. We've had ITU Yokohama. We've had the Challenge Championship and we've had Ironman in St. George.
And Arena Games.
Oh, yeah. Let's count that too, shall we? Okay. All right. Let's count Arena Games.
Chuck that weird thing in there.
And I just wonder whether these big organizations get it or they just don't get it. I'm saying is that I don't think they get it, right? Is that they've got a job to do, which is to draw us into the journey. We want to be part of the journey. We're sitting there. I mean, you're obviously up at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night watching this shit going, keep me awake. Okay. That's your job, the commentators. That's your job to keep me awake, right? And tell me the story, draw me into the journey. You know, you just tell me more than what I'm seeing. Tell me what I'm not seeing, right? And do you get that feeling that they just don't get it, that they just fucking put one camera on the front of the bike and then they just get someone that just fills in 5 hours of talk, endless, mindless talk.
To be fair to Challenge, they had Belinda Granger talking, and Belinda knows all the athletes personally because she emails them. She's their representative. Yeah. So at least she had stories to tell about them, and she knew who was in form. She knew who to look out for, but she was only explaining it. She didn't have a camera to show us. And you could tell that she actually wanted to see more of the race, but she wasn't able to. She was just telling us the stories of the athletes that she knew.
Yeah.
Sorry, Blake, you were saying?
What Super League do well is at least they might not show you the cameras, but there's splits there. You know where everyone is.
Yeah,
you might not be able to see them, but you know there's two divisions to Challenge as well. Yeah, because Challenge have two divisions. There's their Challenge bit, which is what we saw on the weekend in Samarin, and there's their Clash Endurance stuff. The Clash Endurance stuff, so Clash Miami, whereas Drake's got that puncture and got his outside assistance. They had great timing. It's the same kind of thing as Arena Games. But that's only at every odd event, not every single event. So when that's on, it's great. It goes all the way back to like 10Ks down the road. They'll show you the splits, the top 20. It's brilliant, but it's not at every race.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, mountain biking, get it? Mountain biking will split a course up and they'll tell you where different athletes are stronger at different portions. You know, there might be some hills that one athlete's taking time out. And, you know, and they can do it on downhill mountain bike races, which take 3 minutes. And you're getting so much information. It's like, man, it's like, why is it so hard to do it in a 5 hour race? They can do it, and these guys can do it in a 3 minute race.
Yeah,
and it's just.
But the mountain bike is a good example. I really enjoy their commentaries. I mean, the cross country is an hour and a half.
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, but you're right. Is that they're being? That's a good point about the timing splits not coming up. Those timing splits are helping the commentators. Take us on the journey, tell the story of what's going on, because we're all waiting. You know, I mean, and triathlon is even more important to see as many splits as you can get on the way through, or even track the athlete on the way through. Now, being involved in timing, I know it's not that simple. Unless you've got, I guess, the Tour de France budget, which is where I would imagine. So I won't bore you, but I will bore you. That I'd imagine the Tour de France guys have what's called an active transponder. So at all the races that you do, you have a passive transponder, right? They don't have a little an active transponder. It's got to have a battery in it. So the active transponder's going, hey, I'm here, come looking for me, right? Whereas the passive ones, like at the half Ironman, they're dumb. They're just saying, until you put the mats down, I'm not going to see you. So they need to switch to active technology for all of their leaders. And then it's just a case of someone writing the software. And I'll give you an example of someone that can do it. The Dunedin boys, you know, what are they called? Oh, they do the golf and all those sports.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah. It's doable, right? And it's doable. The Tour de France is doing it all the time. You know, and even there, it's not phenomenally great, you know, you still have to wait for them to go, okay, we need to work out the gap to the chasers and the third pack or where the Maijon is or whatever it is, right? There's still a little bit of a delay to get that sort of it. But I just think to myself, come on, guys, you want to be the world champs. You want to be up there with the other sports and you want to compete for eyeballs. Well, fucking the other thing I've got to add to it, that at Ironman, mate, do not ever send the cameras back to the studio. Why do they do that?
Oh, that was ridiculous.
Yeah,
that was infuriating.
Yeah, why do we want to see these guys?
I don't want to fucking see you.
The top 10 girls hadn't even finished.
Yeah.
Like, there were still pro girls getting prize money coming across the finish line. We saw none of it.
Yeah. But no, let's go back to the studio.
Yeah.
You know, they were going to the studio all the way through. And you know, I'm just saying, you I do wonder whether this is a real conversation about the athletes. It's interesting, eh, that the PTO for the first time have placed a value on the athletes. And I still don't think Ironman get that, eh? I don't think that that Ironman get that. These Lionel Sanders is your star. Do you know? He really is, whether you like it or not. He's the star. Even though he's not the world champion.
But you only see him in the last 3K of the run.
Yeah. That's right, because he's always coming from behind. But
instead we see Braden for almost the whole race, and he doesn't get the credit for being why he's at the whole race, because they're too busy talking about Sam Long, who's in eighth place or wherever the hell he is.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, guys, do your homework. Know who these athletes are.
Yep.
You know?
So I'm trying not to be too whingy, but
I think
that's worth a conversation, that you need to have like a director where the director goes, this is the script of what I want you to talk about. Fit it into the story. By the way, whoever, I saw the camera work at the mount race where you were watching them sitting in there, you know, they could just be having a guy that knows what he's talking about, just leaning on the shoulder of the guy that clicks the button that goes, go back to camera two again, please.
How hard is that?
Just put the camera on camera two or camera three or whatever it is, right? But you can't tell me that Ironman do not have the budget, right? Because you know how we've been treated to such phenomenal every year. Is it the NBC Ironman special that they do, right?
Yeah.
But that's because they bring their own people in, right? They ignore Ironman altogether. They will bring in every piece of camera equipment, their own camera equipment. They'll stay in their own hotels. They'll probably organize their own motorbikes, right? They'll do whatever they want to do. But they've obviously got someone going, I want you to follow that person and let's get that story. That's the storyline that we're going on. And they follow it. That direction is what's needed, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I agree, having a production manager standing behind them saying, knowing the race, you know, there's a job for Steve Sheldrake. There's a guy that knows everything about every race.
Yeah.
Just saying, hey, we need to see what's going on here, because I've heard the spotters are saying that this is happening. Let's go and have a look at it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's fine. That's exactly right. You can hear the whispers in the background. So the example for that was, we knew in no man's land, sitting at home, that Hayden Wild was disqualified before Hayden Wild crossed the line.
Yeah.
That's how fast the gossip network of triathlon works, you know, is that we're watching a live commentary, but it's not fast enough because the real story was happening in the other scene in the background. And it was, that's the sort of thing that a good director should, you're right, a Stephen Sheldrake is turning around and saying, and look, to be fair to Boodle, I think he's a bloody good commentator too. So,
yeah, shit,
but they need to,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Jesus, sound like me. You know what I mean? That you take him from there. So in the truck, right? In the truck that was shooting the Tauranga race was a person that knew nothing about the sport. There you go. And that wasn't being disrespectful. The coverage is pretty simple and pretty bread and butter stuff. But you get what my point is?
Yep.
You don't put the director into the guys, into their pointing the camera, then the commentators are just sucking air for 7 hours. And it's part of your life, you just don't get back. So that's my two cents worth on that. Anything else to add on that one? Any boys, before we move on to the next topic on the agenda?
I'm back, by the way.
Oh, he's back. So let's just recap everything. No.
I'll go back and listen to it. I'll listen to it when you publish it.
Oh, that'll be a first.
That's right. We'll count that as a listener as well. We'll count that as a listener as well.
I will say this is that with the advent of putting these events on Facebook Live and whatever platform that they're streaming on, these guys are now in the entertainment business.
Yes.
So they are. So if I'm not being entertained, I won't watch it.
Yeah. And I honestly, I couldn't do it. I couldn't. I took one look at that bike course and I thought, oh, fuck, man. They're riding on farmland in Slovakia.
Oh, sorry. It was boring as fuck, right?
Oh, fuck that.
So boring.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I said on the chat, I switched in and out and then I just gave up.
Yeah. Did the run improve at all?
No.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason I paid a lot of attention to it is because Rebecca's racing on that course.
Oh.
Just at the world, ITU long distance world champs on a similar course, but I wanted to see really how it plays out. And it was pretty flat and boring.
Ooh.
Yeah, you better get good at bloody time trialing on the bike then.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Super. Okay, boys. And we'll bring in this one now, Blake. I want to talk about a European business and juniors. And we had a really nice email, eh, Rob?
It was awesome.
Really nice email I won't name him.
No, we need to because we need to plug his product.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we will. Hang on, pause. So, yeah, we got this awesome email from James Alvery, who runs, he's trying to solve. He would have been easier trying to solve world peace, I think, than the task he's taken on. He's trying to solve drafting and races, and Race Ranger is their product, and it's awesome. And you know what? Like true Kiwi entrepreneurs, man, it's a tough gig because we don't realize it. We're selling things from the bottom of the fucking world, right? How do you do that? The answer is you get on a plane and you fly to Europe and you take your bag of goodies and you go knocking on doors. And that's how you do it. That's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So he was using he's one of our 9 listeners now. So we must be up to 10. We must be 10,
double figures, right?
Got to be a double figures by now, right?
At least.
And he was using us just to chill out on the Autobahn. And he's almost like a European correspondent because he told us.
He had a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, he had great stuff, eh? So because we didn't realize it. So the one person that we missed, that's your fucking fault, Blake, because you didn't tell us that Gizzy Boy was racing in the French GP race, even though we didn't ask you, right?
There was more than just Gizzy Boy in there as well.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a couple there.
So Gizzy Boy was in there. He was 20-something. This is of a race of about 120 starters, we'll add.
Yeah.
Draft legal sprint distance race of 120 people.
What a race.
Carnage out there. So, yeah, Taylor was in about 20-something. And then Austin Carter and Sam Parry were in about 56th and 60th as well.
Wow. What a
field, eh? That's amazing.
So Sam Parry is one of our juniors as well. He's a junior still, racing in an open field.
He raced really well at the Mount.
So I'd heard all about the French GP, right? Heard all about the French GP. Never had I seen 1 second of French GP racing in my life. But we had the link. James gave us the link to it. It was in French. And I watched the race, right? And admittedly, it was in French, but so fucking what? I could not get over two things that just blew my mind. One was how big the field was, and two, how brutal and competitive it was. Wow. So you look at Gizzy, right? I mean, he didn't. He was almost out of the swim. He was there on the bike. Now, I don't know whether that was a good race where he only ended up in 30th place. You're a minute down, you're in 30th.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
The boys on the circuit, they say that the French Grand Prix racing is the hardest racing to win.
Is that right?
Because there's no entry requirements. You get world tri start lists. You're only allowed X amount of people from certain countries, and you've got to be ranked in here and here. But in French Grand Prix racing, there's 120 of you. They can be anywhere from anyone and go and race your best. So the best people show up.
It's unbelievable. Mm.
Javier Gomez has raced there, the Brownleys.
Oh.
They've all shown up.
New Zealand, book a team in the French Grand Prix. What I'm saying is that we have Team New Zealand, right? And that's what the team's called or sponsored by. I would have the team sponsored by 100% Pure New Zealand, right? They fund the team. We race in the French League. You get all that TV coverage. And we take our New Zealanders and we race in the, all our juniors and up-and-comers, and they go and race in that Grand Prix. What do you think?
Well, there is kind of a French club which has looked after the New Zealand athletes for a long time. And it's I don't know how it's pronounced. I think it's Poissy, P-O-I-S-S-Y. And that's who James has raced for, Debbie Tanner raced for them, Andrea has raced for them. And so it seems like a lot of our top New Zealanders have gone and raced at that club. So I don't know if that's still a thing that happens. But, I wonder how that would go down. You know, what's stopping them from doing that?
You see what I mean? I just think that, wow, it looks like some – I just couldn't get over – I really couldn't get over the size of the field to begin with. I mean, this is an elite race. There's 100-odd people in it. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Amazing,
it's,
eh?
It's, you know, what an ITU race might stretch to 50.
Yeah.
Name me a race where the pro field stretches into the hundreds. Challenge?
Oh, running world cross country champs running.
Right. Right. You'd struggle to find an elite race that big.
Yeah.
Right.
Cycling world champs.
You know. That's right. You know, but you look at that race and you go, so I don't know if Gizzy had a good day or a bad day because there's no benchmark to compare it against. Mm. But I would say one thing. It's got to be good for his trade, right? It's got to be good for his racecraft. It's just
I kind of see those races a little bit like you get with the Belgian cycling commisses, where we might have New Zealand athletes, so you might get World Tour riders racing, and that they don't win, they don't get near the front of the field, but they get their asses kicked, but they just get blooded into some great racing in the process. So you might not look at the performance, but you look at the outcome from it, and it's you might be at the end of a 30-hour week.
Yeah.
You know, that might be why I came 22nd, but what he gets out of it is just that hardening up, that race experience.
Yes.
Yeah, just more time in the racing flats.
Who else was racing that we might have missed up in Europe? Like, do you know any other names that you could drop into the conversation? Sophie Spencer is the name I know.
Yep. That was so from Italy.
Ivan Abel raced in Germany last weekend. He was one of the junior boys. Came ninth in a German Junior Cup, led the whole, made a breakaway off the bike and managed to run himself through to ninth. So good race, like see with the French Grand Prix stuff. That's
Stop the bus! I've got no idea who you're talking about.
Ivan Abel. He was fourth.
Where's he from? How old?
In Mount. He is junior, so Lassie Junior, 18, from Taupo.
Okay, and did he?
So by Cameron Paul.
Did he do all of the? The Pro Tour.
He did a couple of them. Race in New Plymouth. He was on the scene. He was in the senior race in Taupo.
Yeah,
and he raced at the Mount as well, I think.
And he raced in the Mount in the junior race and came
awesome.
Fourth.
Awesome. So he
was ninth in Germany.
So do you think he's gone over to work? He's got a contract to race in a German team, or did he just do that race? Do you know?
I think that's just a thing where you just show up and do your business.
Okay, gotcha.
That one was anyway.
Yeah, who else? So take us back to the junior, not the junior race, the same weekend as Yokohama, there was the other race.
In Italy.
Yes, that's Aoli, the one.
Or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. So what, there was a sprint distance, Conti Cup, was it, or was it a below? I don't know.
The open race, the elite race was a sprint. Yeah. That had Turbo Corbo and Lockie Hake. Talking it.
Yep.
Looks like Corbo struggled on the I don't know how it went. I could be making this up, but it looks like Corbo struggled on the bike, got left behind a bit, and ran himself through to 40th.
Wow.
And then Lockie had a pothole and had a rear puncture, so couldn't finish the race.
Okay.
That was how the boys went.
Yeah. The girls?
Bria Roderick and Hannah Knighton were in the field as well. Both rode front pack. Bria finished up 16th. Hannah was 31st, and she's about 3 weeks back into running off an injury. So,
okay.
Positive stuff.
Is Hannah the gentlemen, do you know, is Hannah the reserve for the Com Games team?
No idea.
The name, the team's getting named Thursday, isn't it?
I think it's Thursday.
Is it Thursday? I thought it was tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. We didn't get an invite, boys, to the announcement.
Yeah.
Do they know who we are?
Yeah, they should do. I mean, we're the podcast.
Wednesday, 25th of May.
There we go.
Tomorrow.
So I think I've got a nick. So, huge shout out to Waitakere Tri Club, those bloody Westies, to Rob Iyer, who he thinks come up for a name for the New Zealand Olympic and Commonwealth Games Committee. So what do you reckon? He came up with, really Bond themed ones, eh? It was Scepter. Was it Scepter? The villains, the bad guys?
Yep.
Well, the other ones he had, Robert, I haven't bought it. Oh, shit. They're the beauties.
Don't get too excited.
Oh, I was so excited. I was really happy to read them. I'm gonna call the NZOG Bond villains. Because for me, they can be a bit like Bond villains. Scepter,
Hydra.
Scepter, Hydra. What else? Sorry, Rob.
League of Assassins.
The League of Assassins.
Ming the Merciless.
Ming the Merciless. Yeah. So the reason, obviously, that I think we're calling them that is that, you know, what was it? The League of Assassins.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to write that one down. I like that one. Because for every one person that makes that Olympic team, they assassinate the careers of about 400 others. Does that be a bit hard on them? Don't ask that. Don't answer that political question. Don't want an answer.
You can probably argue.
I mean, there's like, there's some questionable things going on. When I read into the Cycling New Zealand report, go back onto that.
Yeah.
They said they interviewed people from pretty much every body that bases themselves out of Cambridge. And they said that the events of tragic events of Olivia Podmore could easily have happened in any other HP body.
That's right.
So I think that says enough for itself, doesn't it?
It does. And of course, when we're talking this, the League of Assassins are nowhere to be seen. The League of Assassins say nothing, which is New Zealand Olympic Games Committee. Mm. They just turn around and go, we'll have you in our team, but not you in our team. You in our team, but not you in our team. You know, and that's so that through all of that, the reporting that was hopefully something will come of it. Those guys there and what was the other one? Ming the Merciless.
Ming the Merciless, yeah.
Ming the Merciless. Ming the Merciless. Turn around and say, it's not us, mate. Anyway, I won't bash you. I bashed him up enough last time.
Can I just bring up a great James Alvery memory?
Yes, please.
So one of the greatest races I remember watching was the 2012 Olympic qualifier, Olympic selection race in London. And he broke away on the bike with Alistair Brownlee and Alexander Brukhankov.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it. It might have been James's last elite race, really, because it was his push to get to the Olympic team. And I just remember watching this race going, oh, James is riding with Alistair. And we all remember Brukhankov, the big Russian doped up monster.
Yeah.
And I swear, I can't remember. James would probably say it better, but I remember talking to him about that race after it. And apparently the bike ride was so freaking hard that when he got off and started the run, he just completely exploded. But for that hour, it was New Zealand, Russia, and Great Britain dominating the front of this race. And they'd broken away from the rest of the field. And it was the greatest thing. I just remember watching it going, this is so good.
Yeah.
Going down them in London. It was great. So yeah, James was a superb athlete, eh? Like he was such an awesome athlete. And he'd been in it for a long time from a junior, from a young age. And it's cool to see him. You know, he's given back to the sport. He wants to make the sport better 100%. Than it was when he left it, and it's so cool to see. So I really wish so much for him.
I'm pretty sure
and Dylan.
He would have raced you, Bike Painter, and you, Rob, as a Vitasport kid before you, Blake Miller, were even born.
Yeah, we were the senior boys.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah,
that's a hell of competitive back then, man.
He was probably getting beaten by DB Tanner back in those days.
Oh shit, yeah.
Getting checked.
Hey, so Blake,
he can verify that.
what name the last race you won where you got checked, Blake?
Oh, Surfbreaker Elite Race. Nicole got me by about 10 seconds.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no. Oh, no.
Yeah. So, not that long ago. Hey,
she goes all right. She does.
I'll let it slide, I guess.
Hey, so did any other junior? So, do we talk about the junior girls in that race in Italy?
Nah. So there was two juniors. There was Ivan again. He raced in the boys section and Sophie in the girls. So the finals were 30 each. So they got into the finals. They were an elimination process. Sophie was ninth.
Yeah.
Which is a very, very strong result.
Yeah.
And Ivan was 24th. Had a shocker of a T2.
Oh, really?
Left himself with everything to do. So
strong. Well, okay. It's all good.
So what I'll say is 24th from Ivan out of our fourth best male. Is promising for the other lot.
Oh,
because if he's theoretically our fourth best, then there's some room to go there with the other boys.
I want you to pick your reserve for reserves. Name your reserves who you would pick for Com Games. Blake, go.
So the reserve for the Com
Reserves. Yeah. because we know who the it's Andrea NVVVVK and Ainsley, and we know it's the boys. The boys. Yeah, you know
Dylan Taylor Hayden.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Yeah, I'm losing it, man. I'm sobering up. So come on.
Pick your
reserves.
I think Ava Goodison has earned that.
Yep.
On the girls' side. She had all those three races.
I go
really kind of gave it all of it.
Yeah.
Who's your boy? Probably Trent Thorpe.
Oi. Who's yours, Rob?
Oh, it's a tough one. Between Trent and Giannis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go Trent purely because Trent, you know, he reserved at the Olympics. He kind of knows the role that a reserve plays, and he's a super experienced athlete. And if the shit hits the fan, if one of our big guys goes down, we want to know that we're putting another big guy back in his place. So yeah. I would go Trent, and I'd go Eva. I think Eva's definitely showing that she's got the talent for it.
Yeah. I'm a Staffenberg boy. I'm staying consistent. Absolutely consistent. Hey, Bike Painter, did I hear you earlier putting a cassette in a like a tape recorder?
Oh, I can see how you probably came to that conclusion. It does sound very similar.
What was it?
It's my bloody noon mixy drink bottle with the little springy thing on the inside to mix up the powder.
Could you
for my protein? Because I'm bulking up for league season.
Could you any more stereotypical if you tried, Bike Painter?
Probably not.
No, you couldn't. You're the poster boy for the. Oh my god!
Do you want to know who my reserves would be?
Who do you want your reserves be, Bike Painter?
No one. You're either good enough to make the team or you're not.
Well, to be fair,
what if someone gets COVID?
Hang on.
Fuck him.
Hang on. You don't need reserves. There's three men and three women going to the race.
Yeah, and yeah, and you only need four for the mixed team. Yeah,
yeah. What do you need reserves for?
Yeah, you've got your reserves.
In
the team.
Does anyone know why you need to take two reserves?
You'd be better off not spending the money on those two reserves and actually sending the coaches.
I think the coaches are going.
Oh, then that's all right.
So, yeah, I think the coaches are going.
Often your reserve will be the person who's most willing to go.
I mean, I'm sorry. I just had a thought. I didn't think about it. Why would you send a reserve?
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense. There we go. No. We'll file that. That doesn't make any fucking sense business. The next on the agenda, did anyone else in Europe we miss be lucky?
Not as of yet. However, this weekend, I think we've got, let me count it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We've got 12 people racing this week.
Fair dinkum. Okay, can you quickly cover off where these 12 are racing?
Yeah. So Oliver Larkin, second place at the junior race in Tauranga.
Yeah.
He is in Poland racing European junior champs.
Cool, man.
So he's got heats on Friday night and then final A or B, whichever one he gets into, on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So he's there. And then in Egypt, we have Lockie and Turbo Corbo on the men's side. They're at 10 to 6 on Saturday evening.
Stop the fucking bus, caller. Stop the fucking bus.
Egypt. Where are they going to swim?
The Nile.
In a lovely, lovely place called Sharm El Sheikh. It's actually really nice if you look at it.
On the Mediterranean. That'd be beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
it's a lovely place.
Is it an ITU race? Is it a private race? What do you know about it?
So this is an African Cup in the same way that our three races were Oceania Cups.
Gotcha. Yep.
So it's same level. And then girls' side has Hannah Howe, Madison Kitely, Hannah Knighton, and Olivia Cummings.
And they're all in Egypt.
Yeah, so all those six are all in Egypt.
Wow.
So girls' race is on Friday night, men's race is on Saturday night.
Is that New Zealand time, I guess?
Yep.
Okay.
Sure is.
And
so the European champs are streamed on Triathlon Live.
Yep.
The Egyptian race isn't, unfortunately.
Okay.
But then Azarkana, which is a World Cup, which is your second tier race, the one below Yokohama and the one above these continental cups.
Yeah.
We've got Ainsley, Breyer, and Ava Goodison.
Wow. That'll be a good race.
Saxon Morgan and Dylan McCulloch.
Wow. Okay. That is sprint distance, I guess.
Yes.
Oh, so where's this race?
It's in Arcana, which is in Italy.
In Italy. Okay. Hey, this is. Hey boys, we've learned something. Finally,
I've got a question.
Yeah, I'm happy. We've learned something on the podcast the first time.
Who pays for these guys to travel and accommodate and stuff like that? Is this coming out of their own budget? You know, their own.
Yeah, good question.
Parents, bank and family, or is it coming out of their
performance? 90% of it is.
Really, mum and dad.
Wow, that's a commitment. Yeah, okay. So that's a huge.
Yeah,
that's a massive investment.
There'll be periods of the year where they're on team camps, in which they'll be funded to an extent, but most of the traveling between racing is off. That's off your own bat.
And who coordinates all the travel logistics and stuff? Because that must be a massive job for these athletes to deal with as well.
Mostly the athletes and their coaches.
What a headache.
Chris Willett is definitely overseas.
Oh yeah,
he was in Kaoli with them, and he is now in Egypt with them as well.
Wow.
So that's a person. But I think aside from him, I think all of the coaches and staff members are still in New Zealand.
It just shows how hard it is to be a young elite triathlete from New Zealand and Australia racing in Europe. Like for the Europeans, it's easy.
Yeah.
For our guys, it's not easy. It's a massive effort.
I'll take your hard and I'll reply with, fuck it, baby. They're living the dream, eh?
Yeah. I would love to have been doing that. Yeah.
They're living the dream. That would be awesome. You know?
Yeah. I'm so envious of them.
And God bless the bank and mum and dad. You know? Yeah. I mean, all I can think of is all the foreign exchange dollars going out of the country as they fund these their kids through it. But it is living the dream. It has to be.
Yeah.
Racing in Egypt, come the fuck on. You know, that's even awesome. You bike painter, you in your younger days you would have loved that.
Yeah, I
went overseas and raced for a couple of seasons.
And how out of the suitcase, how mum and dad, banker mum and dad was that?
Nah, actually I saved for it myself. They didn't actually pay anything. Good for them. Yeah, no, I worked and saved all my money and I kind of figured out how much it was going to cost me to run a campaign for a couple of seasons. And I mean, admittedly, I couch surfed my ass off.
Yeah.
From
as every New Zealander does.
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of like, you know, flights and then sort of getting to and from races, race entry fees and that's, but then it was subsidized, like you're racing for prize money, right? So it kind of balanced out.
What was your best place? Come on, bike painter.
Oh, so the first year I won the series that I was racing in. So I got a whole bunch of firsts and seconds. I didn't not podium.
In what country were we in?
We're in Canada.
Canada. Okay.
Canada. Canada. I was out in a boot. Yeah. Out in a boot.
Oh, awesome.
I didn't not podium I tell you what I did do is in Muskoka, I beat Simon Whitfield.
Ooh.
1997.
Take that, Simon Whitfield.
Take that, Simon, before he was
before he really was Simon Whitfield.
Because we're the same age.
Yeah.
I funded the whole thing myself and I had to take into account that, hey, I might not earn any money while I'm over there. So I've got to live
the dream, baby.
If you didn't win, you didn't eat.
Live the dream.
How did Simon Whitfield go after you beat him? Just fill us in on his career.
I think I played a big part in him winning the Olympic Games in 2000. I think I was the catalyst.
Yeah,
the starting points.
He's like, I've hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
I can only get up from here.
I think it's one of those things that, like, you know, you sort of he had that and he's like, shit, I've got to give myself an uppercut. And away he went. So
I'll take that one. Bit like those times we beat Bevan Doherty, eh?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Take it when you can get it. Take it when you can get it. God.
Wins good a win, Lord.
Man. Hey, so that's cool to know. I tell you what, you've earned your wages today, Blake, because I had no idea what the juniors were up to. So that was very informative, which is very rare for our podcast.
Actually brought the IQ level up quite significantly.
Just quietly, yeah. Yeah.
not that
every day is a school day.
Yeah. So that covers off the juniors. Is anyone else doing? Is there any Kiwis anywhere else doing anything spectacular this week? Or we've got to have nothing to talk about next week, eh? Oh, don't say it. Sub 7, sub 8.
Oh no. Yeah. I was going to say challenge poking because Amelia was meant to be doing that, but she might be focusing on
sub 8.
Something.
Yeah. I'm not interested in Ironman Chattanooga because Hannah Wells got COVID.
Yeah.
So I don't care. Something.
Had COVID.
Some sort of heart problem. Can we just bypass the sub 7, sub 8 thing? Because I'm so bored by it.
Yeah. So what else is new, boys? Yeah, that sums it up, really, eh?
Yep.
Carapaz to win the Giro or the Aussie fella, Hindley.
So it was a rest day today, eh?
Yeah.
Jai Hindley to win?
Hey, here's an interesting thing. This is how focused sport is not on the athletes these days. So I think this is probably the second or third time now that the Giro's had three rest days in the tour. They used to only ever have two.
Yeah.
The only reason why they're having three is because they had a big transfer from the Hungary to back to Italy.
Gotcha.
Now the amount of money that Hungary paid to have the Giro in their country for 3 years, obviously for three stages, is phenomenal. And the last people they think about is the athletes. Apparently the athletes hate having that rest day so early and hate having those long transfers. So, and the same thing with Tour de France starts in Denmark this year.
Yep.
They're going to have three stages in Denmark and then they're going to have a rest day and then go down to France. Athletes hate it. But the organisers love it because they get millions and millions of dollars.
It is multi-millions of dollars, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Now, the athletes, they're the last ones to be thought of in this whole process. And actually, they're the ones that have to put the show on. It's not really fair on them, eh, when you think about it.
Do you know what it is? It's like when we were discussing in our chat group about how much Ryan Fox makes. And it was, oh my God, was the answer. I had no idea he made so much money, right? Mm. He makes so much, which is good on him, full credit, right? But then you think about why doesn't our sport have the top tier where the top 10 or 15 guys can make, should be on retained on $1 million a year. I mean it, $1 million a year. You know, if someone introduced overnight the IP, so look what happened in cricket, right? The Indian money turned up, and just like that, Ross Taylor's a millionaire overnight, right? But our athletes work 10 times harder than those cricket. And I'm a cricketer. I know how hard those fuckers work. They don't.
They don't work that hard.
They don't.
How much Super League money did Hayden Wild make in that short form?
Yeah, the true, Super League is what IPL is, the triathlon, but it's still miles 100%. Behind.
Yeah, it is. Eh? It's a tenth of the price of it. Eh? That's right.
What did he walk away with? About 90 grand or something all up, didn't he?
Oh, more than that.
Yeah. How many fitties or something you got for
but six if you figures, think right? About, think about what he actually put out, though. Four races, four weekends, and the third best team, three podiums or whatever. Like, you can't ask much better than that, and he walks off with six figures. Some guys go off and play cricket for 18 weeks and walk off with several millions.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, they're nowhere near.
Yeah, or Ryan Fox walks off the 18th green in 24th place and gets 200 grand.
Yeah.
That's the reality of golf, eh? I guess that comes down to TV rights, eh? That the TV rights feeds back into it and that money feeds back into the tournament so the players can get their slice of the juice. Is the problem that our sport just doesn't, and this is what the world's fastest Māori is trying to do, right? Is he's trying to get eyeballs on Super League, and he's doing the best of the lot at the moment. I think he's doing even better than the PTO in terms of the product that he's turning out. Apart from his sub 7, sub 8 dog that he's going to try and, let's see how it goes. I'm probably being a bit too presumptuous in saying it's going to be a dog. It's going to be a dog.
It's a dog.
The idea is a dog, but he hasn't had his arena games. By all means, to us it may not have been great, but others they may have loved it.
Yeah,
it's a pretty simple formula. You get a marketable product. You sell it to the TV, to the highest bidder for TV rights.
Yeah,
who can then on sell that for advertising? How much advertising can they sell in the time that they're showing the product?
Yeah, and
that's it.
I just wonder whether that's the missing ingredient. Either that or you get private equity money like the PTO boys have got.
Mm.
They just find someone with the millions of dollars to just throw it out there. But even then, right, it's the prize money's fucking enormous. It's the best thing that's ever happened, especially to Kyle Smith, right? But it's not in the league of what other pro sportsmen are getting. And the worst, I think, now that we're talking this way, the people that really need to be looking at themselves is Ironman. They've got the product, man. They've got the product. It's Ironman. Always will be Ironman for me. As much as PTO try and say it's this distance, it's Ironman. Why are there not five Ironmans a year that have the top 20 men? Or top, the race could have 100 in it, right? But it only pays 10 deep. And that's what we're focusing on. You know, we talked about Yokohama, which did a good job, right? Well, what's the next Ironman we're talking about that I want to talk about? I'll tell you, it's Kona and then it's New Zealand. That's it.
Challenge Roth.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Good point. Challenge Roth as well. Yeah, mm. Challenge Roth as well. But that's it, right? They've got – why are they not – I don't know. But that, yeah, that then feeds back to the athletes that are having to just earn pennies, eh, in comparison. Yeah. I think – yeah. Anything else here, boys?
Nah,
no. Pretty solid. About it, eh? So we've got a pretty quiet week next week. Just some Continental Cup level juniors racing. Hayden's not racing. Kyle's not racing. Braden's not racing. I think we're
There's a.
We've got Ironman Ken's. Braden will be doing Ironman Ken's next in a couple of weeks' time.
Is that the sub-7 weekend?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And I'll be in Ken's. I'll try and get an interview on the ground.
An interview. Wow.
I'll go That's to the
good.
Media.
Hey, Blake, thank you for putting up with us for an hour or so.
Awesome.
Appreciate you having on. And yeah, that was really good to know about those juniors. So we'll do that again every now and again. We'll give you a yell. Just tell us when there's some good shit and just give us a yell. So we'll plug it in because we want to give every aspect of the sport a plug as best we can. The Comm Games team's being announced Wednesday. That's tomorrow. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Any duathlon news that we need to know about?
Oh, yeah. Huge plug. Come on, you fuckers. Do the National Duathlon Champs put on by the Auckland City Tri Club. I know it's on a race course. I don't fucking care. It's the National Champs. It's our sport.
Let's do it.
Be Larke. Get your fucking ass up here and do that race.
It's great. I've been there every year. I've been able to. It's great.
Yeah, it's a great race, man. It needs to be supported, right? If you're listening, I guarantee you that they'll allow teams. Fucking put in a team with your mate.
I've done a team. I've done a team with my brother when I was about 13 years old.
I can remember, I don't know what race it was we did, but it was out in Pukekohe and getting legless afterwards at a pub somewhere in Pukekohe. It would have been with the brothers, the old brothers, Paul Allen and the dairy farmer. Fucking hell. Just put in a team and do that. Trust me. Anything else, boys?
No, that's it.
I'll put in the can, eh? Got a couple of pauses to put in there. So how long are you down there for, Rob?
I'm coming back tomorrow. I'm just doing a reconnaissance for a training camp.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'd like to spend more time down here. I love it.
It is good down there, eh? It is good down there. Yeah.
Not much surf at the moment, though. She's pretty flat.
It's pretty flat, is it?
Yeah.
If you would have seen that... I'm waffling. Gotta go. Anything else, boys?
Okay. Later.
Take care. Thanks for your time. Be lucky. Pleasure having you on board. Another Take problem. Care, mate. Or everyone else. See you later. Yeah, bye. Bye.
Cheerio. Bye. Later.